On October the 15th, 2016, David Wynne created a comic book purely from the suggestions of people on Twitter, and we called it Twitter Comic 2016. Alongside it, we opened up a Just Giving page to raise money for the mental health charity Mind, which is very close to our hearts. You can still donate to that and get a copy of the comic book that David created called Astro Vikings if you go to justgiving.com/fundraising/WHI. We also created a podcast alongside it for 24 hours. And these are the records of the Starship Twitter Comic 2016.
This is segment 7. Welcome, listener.
Welcome to segment 7.
You can do that voice for every single one of them. If you if you're canny, you will be subscribing to these and they'll be popping up as in your podcatcher of choice as
Christmas treats.
Yes, as Christmas treats. Yeah. They're going to be coming out more than one a day.
This is like, you know, Apple do the 12 days of Christmas, only not as disappointing.
Do they have a really ramshackle schedule and just vaguely try and fit like 13 or 14 episodes into it?
It's 12 days of incoherent, poorly recorded audio. It's not good.
So in this segment, there were James, that's you.
Hi.
John and Jane, the mom family.
Yeah.
Then there's David Wynne, who was stuck here, really. He didn't have any choice.
No, he carried on drawing.
Steve Bishop,
yeah.
Who is a really good podcaster who did a lot of good stuff during this Twitter comic.
Steve Bishop designed Twitter Comic 2016 in terms of, if you saw when we were posting up promotional material and so forth for it, all of that was designed by Steve Bishop. The countdown was designed by Steve Bishop. He's a very talented designer. I recommend if you have any designing needs, you contact him.
But also, he was quite good on the actual show.
He was brilliant in the
That's
show.
That's what though. I was... I mean, fine. He did all that other stuff.
Yeah, no, it's good. He's excellent.
He's got a good brain, and he's good at putting the things in his brain into words and then spouting them out of his mouth.
I love talking to Steve because he's always really clear and thoughtful in his thinking. I like talking to him very much. He's everything I'm not.
He's everything.
Yeah.
Also, Mike Georgie was there and Jesse. I didn't ever know Jesse's surname.
Jesse Canadian, who spoke for the entirety of the North American continent.
Several
quiz.
Times, yeah. This was... what did you cover during this time? Because I wasn't here for this bit. If you talked about Stranger Things. This was the time. I was listening to this on my earphones while I was on the bus coming here.
Right. Okay.
And you willfully, the bunch of you willfully talked about Lost, knowing that I could hear and wasn't able to intervene.
I think I referenced you several times during that, and I talked directly to you knowing you're listening in.
You were talking about all sorts of TV, all sorts of telly. So you talked about Strange Things, and you talked about Breaking Bad, and you talked about Lost.
Oh, it's our first mention of food?
Yes, first mention
of
food.
Which becomes a much bigger deal later on.
Yes. We didn't actually catch Pizzagate on this. We did Pizzagate before Pizzagate happened.
But something you might want to do if you're going to listen through to all of these. This is episode 7, which took place probably around 5, 6, 7 o'clock at night. And this is the first mention of food, where I guess we're first circling around the idea of dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep an ear out for when dinner actually gets ordered.
Oh, yeah, that's a nice Easter egg for them to listen out for later on.
Yeah.
That's it. That's what you covered.
Yeah.
Do you want to let them listen to it now, James?
We should. Yeah, I think we're starting to warm up into the evening here, so it should be some. There's some quite silly stuff from here on in.
The sound quality kind of got better as well because there were fewer than 100 people in the house by this point.
Yeah.
So it's exciting.
Enjoy.
Yep.
I chose exactly the right time to fade up the...
Stranger Things music.
No, I don't think it was, but it was very Stranger Things.
Really?
Yeah. It's not just me then. Excellent.
It's by someone called Lee Rosevere.
Okay.
Who offers his music up on a Creative Commons. So thank you, Lee. I've given proper credit. I think I've done my part of the deal as far as
you're doing great.
As far as that's concerned, thank you very much. That
was welcome.
A ringing endorsement, which I'm very grateful for. In this course of proceedings. Let's move that there, so I'm not being blocked by a. By Monta. Welcome back to Twitter Comic 2016. Is it 2016 still?
It just feels like about 2019. Yeah. It can't be because Blade Runner hasn't happened.
Yeah, although to be fair, John, the way you're counting today, mate, I'd be amazed if you actually knew what year it was. Dave.
Yeah.
How are you?
Hello.
How are you getting on?
I'm all right. I was just thinking, this would be a good time to like have a break and a rest.
Yeah.
And then I realised I've got about another 14 hours before that's going to happen.
That's true. Yeah. No sleep till bedtime.
Yes.
Yeah.
Basically, yes.
Yeah, bedtime's a long way off yet, guys. Let's crash on. Time for the second wind.
Something like that.
Shall we? Who fancies doing a recap of the story so far?
Not me.
Go on, John.
Here's John with the story so far. Twitter Comic 2016. Have we given it a title? Is it Astro Vikings?
Astro Vikings.
John, take it away.
So, it was a dark and stormy night in space. And on board the ship, the captain says, "Listen up, you horrible lot. We face our biggest challenge yet. Tonight we face the Dragon Sun." And then someone asks, "Well, what's a dragon son?" She says, "Well, basically, if you kill a dragon son, you get a dragon nova, which is like prime booty for Astro Vikings." And so, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, comes God and says, "Bow to me, mortals! The dragon son is mine and under my divine protection. If you wish to kill the dragon son, you must first kill me."
John, what's that accent?
My accent. No, this is just how I talk.
Voice. What was the voice? I just want to know.
Was that my accent? I wasn't paying attention.
No, I'm just doing a voice. It's not meant to have any particular accent. Perfect. I don't do accents. It's terrible. They always end up Welsh.
God's a pervy farmer.
So anyway, he says, "You must first kill me," and the captain just said, "That's easy." And then I said, "Let's give God a good kicking." And basically, there's this kick-ass fight, and God launches a tiny horde of lizards and horses at them.
And badgers.
Oh, and badgers. Yes, there are actually space badgers in there.
Amazing.
And then someone said, "Well, why hate horses?" And then the captain takes out some sunglasses and puts them on and says, "I hereby invoke the power of the mystical shades of Asgard to summon the mighty cat warriors of Thor." And there we go.
That's where we're at, the cat warriors.
Yeah, cat warriors of Thor have come to deal with the tiny horde.
I'd like to see Donald Trump grab that sort of pussy. Sorry. Can we just delete the last 15 seconds?
Yeah, no worries.
Seamless segue.
So, what do we need next, Dave? What do we need people to make suggestions on?
Good ways to stay awake for another 14 hours. Reasons why I shouldn't loudly rustle a packet of salt and vinegar biscuit thingies.
Oh, fish and chips, mate.
Yeah.
Oh.
I got a lot of sugary candy, so if you really need to stay awake, that's an option.
That's good.
Cool. We should probably introduce Jesse, who is relatively new to the mic. Hello, Jesse.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hello, everyone.
And also we have Dave, and John's walked away, and Mike's here, hi. Steve's here, and Jane is fighting my coffee machine.
I'm tidying.
Are you winning?
I'm winning, I won.
If you're tidying, you'll be a long time in my kitchen.
It's not that bad. Yeah, we're almost there.
Good. We're almost there, which is more than we can say for this, because we haven't got halfway yet, guys. coming up in this, shall we call it a segment, Mike's Quiz.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And stuff.
And stuff.
I'm worried that we've exhausted Netflix, though. I don't know what I'm going to talk about. Hey, guys, what about Amazon Prime?
Have we talked about Stranger Things, though? I don't think we've actually mentioned
Stranger
Things yet.
Now,
that's a whole topic in and of itself.
I've only seen the first episode of that, so I'm way behind. But I liked it a lot. It was very, very good. I hear that it's something that people like.
Yes, very much so.
Yes.
I go on and on about it.
Well, you didn't like it initially, did you?
No, actually, when I first began watching it, I thought, you know what, it's all right, it's okay.
Mm.
But as I went on, it actually got better and better. So, I mean, there's that.
I really enjoyed the first episode. It did hook me in. I watched it at the beginning of the week, and then the opportunity to watch another episode didn't present itself. But I'm definitely, I think, to be honest, I'm not working on Monday because I'm old, and I think if I stay up all night tonight, I'm going to need another day to recover. So I will probably binge Stranger Things on Monday, because unfortunately, it's not the sort of thing you can watch with a 6-year-old.
No, that's very true.
I managed to put it on before my daughter had gone to sleep, actually. And she said, Dad, what are you watching? It's got kids in it. Is it a children's program? Like, I'll be turning this down then. And I had to assure her that I wasn't continuing to watch children's programs while she was sleeping.
Yeah.
Shall we just say where you can donate? Is that okay?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
We're trying to raise money for Mind, the mental health charity, this time for reasons that you may have already heard during the day. You can donate money at justgiving.com/fundraising/ WHI or WHI. If you want to get technical, get the letters right. I know it says a lot of snacks filling up on the table now, which is telling me something. We're increasing our calorific intake as tiredness starts to bite.
Sorry, I'm sitting here looking very thoughtful. I'm aware you keep pausing and looking at me. I'm just trying to work out a page composition.
Yeah, no, I just like looking at you. I mean,
well, I am pretty.
And we've already established that I cannot do two things at the same time. Now a well established trope on this show. But thank you all for tuning in. We appreciate it a great deal. And please do contribute and keep the story going over on Twitter Comic 2016. John.
Yes.
So you and numbers.
We have a complicated relationship.
I think so. It was very enjoyable having your young son.
Yes,
pretty much running about. It was good. I enjoyed his I enjoyed his almost confrontation with the cat. He was trying to chase my cat out the back door. It was exciting.
I'm glad he was here and didn't manage to completely derail everything.
No, he did very well. We've been doing that variously throughout the day, and hopefully now it is getting later and it's a bit quieter. So hopefully, if we get less coherent, at least we're going to sound a little bit better than we have done. Jesus, so far during the day. I want to hear more though about your obsession with Stranger Things, Jesse.
Okay,
tell me why I should continue watching Stranger Things.
Now, here's the thing. I was the type of person that I was resistant to Stranger Things at first. I thought, you know what? I mean, it's basically an 80s throwback to kind of a... What would you call it, Mike? What would you call
like
it?
Like a horror Stephen
horror,
King.
Horror, yeah, Stephen King kind of show. And in the beginning, I thought, you know what? It's okay. It's not great, but... As you actually start to explore the story a little bit, you start to explore the characters, it gets a lot more interesting. I don't want to kind of spoil it for people who haven't actually watched Stranger Things, but there's quite a bit of... It reminds me a little bit of Lost, if anybody's watched Lost.
Yeah.
Have we? Okay, yep. Excellent. So I'm not going off on a tangent with Lost and Stranger Things right now, because it reminds me a lot of Lost and the fact that there's so many things that are going on, but you don't necessarily know what's going to happen next until they just kind of throw something new at you, and then you slowly piece it together as it goes along. So that's kind of what I loved about Stranger Things.
Yeah,
that and the characters as well.
The casting is probably worth talking about, because those kids are remarkable.
And the thing that I was stunned by was that Eleven, the girl in there, is British. I had no idea.
She did a phenomenal American accent, actually.
She's in Bournemouth, or she was living in Bournemouth.
Oh. So local girl.
The thing, the way I always describe Stranger Things to people is it's what would happen if Stephen King had written E.T. instead of Stephen Spielberg.
That's really... I never thought of that, actually, but that's a really good description. Yeah.
One of the other things I actually quite liked about it was it tends to talk about, like, especially with Winona Ryder's performance, it's obviously she has, what, I don't know, some sort of mental breakdown, I think.
Yeah, it's...
And
yeah.
It's really unusual, because for a large chunk of the series, it really feels like quite 80s, like all mm-hmm. the techniques used are quite 80s. And in the middle of it, you've got this story about this mother having a complete mental break. And it's really interesting because that's not the sort of thing you would have seen in an 80s film or TV show. And it's handled really... That's one of the things I like about the show, is it kind of uses modern, sort of like, more modern ideas and things that are discussed more widely now, but done in a way that's still very uniquely 80s.
No, exactly. It's kind of giving you the nostalgia factor while still giving you something new. So you get a mix of that nostalgia as well as the...
Yeah, I found myself... The only thing I found with it is all the way through, I was like, I really love this. And I had to keep sort of winding myself in and going, it's just the nostalgia. But I really, really like it. It's the amount of references they make to so many, like, 80s, like... standpoint is just references so many films, television, everything, and some of them are really clever. I think especially given what they do with the E.T. flying bike, their take on that, I was like, oh, they're going to go for it, oh wait, that's different. It's a lovely moment.
Oh, exactly.
It could have so easily fallen into style over substance, because it was... Well, I think the hook of the programme early on is the look and feel. I get the impression the story carries it through the series, which is crucial.
The only sort of critique I have of it is when they eventually get to the point where they have to show their hand and sort of reveal the monster, as it were, because they have no choice but to go with, like, right, we're going to CG this. And it kind of took me out of it a bit. I was like, I would have actually just been happy with the guy in a rubber suit. I would have been fully behind that, in fact.
But I think that in that sense, though, they're trying to mix that 80s feel with a little bit more of a modern style. So
yeah.
I kind of like that they did the CGI with that, because they don't want to stick to that whole 80s vibe the entire way through, I think. That's more or less they want to try and blend the two a little bit. They want to give you that nostalgia factor along with the newness, I guess, to... Maybe that's just my opinion. I don't know.
Do you think the show is a bit too self-conscious, though, in that sense? Because we are talking about the 80s and the now, and, you know, we're not really talking about the story as much. It's just we are talking so much about the 80s and the now of the show.
I think that's the thing. A lot of people, like, one of my friends said that, like, she didn't watch it at all, and she was like, someone give me a reason to watch it, and everyone was like, oh, but it's so 80s and it's so, and she was just like, these aren't reasons to watch it, this is you telling me what it's like, give me reasons why I should watch this. But it is, like, the thing is, the kids really, in particular, what's his name, Dustin's great, he's the star of that show, and he just gets so many, like, the kids really do act well, like, they really have the maturity beyond their years. And they kind of really carry that show through as to be something more than just a typical sort of like 80s kids science fiction thing. So I think, like, that's the thing. A lot of people mention the nostalgia, but there is a lot more behind it that carries it through.
I think it's our age group, though, maybe that's getting the whole nostalgia factor, because the new generation doesn't know anything about the 80s anyway. It's just us. Well, I say this when I'm probably the youngest person in this group right now. But I'm saying this from the fact that this is the kind of shows that I watched whenever I was young. So maybe that's the biggest draw factor to me trying to get into Stranger Things, whereas the storyline is actually pretty good. So I think that's what's going to catch the newer generations.
But also, because obviously the whole thing that brought it up was the music is lovely. Somehow the music for that show is just a perfect fit.
Yeah.
And it's... Like, I found myself listening to the soundtrack when it was released, and I was just like... My only, obviously the tracks were a bit short, but it was really nice, sort of quite mood-setting music. One of the tracks does sound like someone's trying to phone you on Skype, and it gets really confusing for a while. It's sort of like the Skype noise going, something's happening.
Very true.
See, the problem is when it gets we were getting a conversation about television. Because I spend far too much of my time on YouTube looking at old reruns of Letterman and Carson and spending evenings watching old episodes of The Gong Show from the 70s with my mouth agape. People watch this! This is nuts! This is like a cocaine fever dream! Which, given that, you know, when it was set in the 70s, when it was filmed in the 70s, I imagine it was fueled in no small part by quite a lot of cocaine. YouTube has been the death for my ability to watch TV programs because it allows me to disappear off into whimsy and watch whatever I want, which is why I've developed... Letterman I've always had an obsession with. Mostly it was because it was exotic and it was really hard to see in the UK in the 80s and the 90s. So it was a really quite mainstream show. I would assume it was shown in Canada as well. Did the late night shows get shown?
Oh, yes,
in Canada?
Yeah, definitely.
So I imagine it would be quite, sort of seems quite safe and familiar, but it was sort of had a, it was very edgy in comparison, certainly in comparison to talk show fare in the 1980s. Here, so I'm still kind of beguiled by it, and it's just the internet's a repository of thousands of episodes of it. And Carson, I find amusing just as a sort of relic of a bygone age. I quite like watching really old Carsons and then googling all of the people on it to see who's dead and who's alive.
See, that's what I used to do with episodes of Dad's Army.
Yeah. But Steve's watched quite a lot of TV and film with me. I get very morbidly obsessed when I'm watching anything that's older than about 10 or 15 years old, especially if it has pets in it.
Oh, they're all dead now.
That dog will be dead by now. Yeah. I can't help myself. I'm not an uplifting person.
It's you mentioned Lost while we're talking about Stranger Things. It's a shame Nick's not here, because when him and I get talking about Lost,
Nick's listening.
Dear God, no. Nick, let's not start the Lost conversation.
I can start the last conversation, but let's just.
Yeah. I find it really interesting listening to Nick talk about Lost, because he had. I only watched some of the first season. I've never watched any more of it than that. But the thing I find interesting is, because Lost is one of those TV shows like Doctor Who. Right? I don't watch Doctor Who. I know a ridiculous amount about Doctor Who because you can't get away from the bloody thing. Right? People just talk about it constantly. Constantly they will talk about it. They will talk to you about it. Even if you say, I don't like it. I'm not interested. And they'll still talk to you about it. But Lost is a bit like that. Like, I know a lot about Lost. I know the basic plot of the whole show, pretty much. But the reason I like it when Nick talks about it is because he says things no one else says. He clearly has a different read on it from most people, and I find that quite interesting. So I'd be very interested to hear the two of you talk.
It's why Nick's engaging about most things, though, let's be honest.
That's true. I think Lost 5 seasons was really good, and I really, really enjoyed it. I just think in the 6th season, it lost everything completely, and completely, I don't know, it just kind of...
That's a popular opinion, I think. It really kind of derailed in season 6, which I don't know how I feel about that, because I don't know. I have mixed opinions on season 6. A part of me really likes it, because the fact is most people don't like it, and maybe that's just my kind of like, well, everybody hates it, so I'm going to like it just to be different, which is ridiculous. But at the same time, I can see why people have kind of gone off with it a bit.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
it's just.
The thing is, Lost did a lot of stuff really well. It did character beats really, really nicely, which is why I think I got even more frustrated with the end of the 6th season, because it was trying to focus on the characters, and somehow just the final episode was so weird. And just, it was like, oh, okay. And they'd also promised for all of the series, oh, this will all make sense, we'll explain everything. And then they kind of hinted at a few things and just kind of went, oh, no. We're not going to do anything else.
That was one of my frustrations, is that, like, you'll have all the answers by the end, and then the end comes, and you have some of the answers. You have a fair amount of the answers, but there's still things that they have not touched on, which I think that was just their sense of, we need to rush through this, we need to get it done, because we'd end the show before it loses all popularity altogether.
That was one of the most satisfying things I found about Breaking Bad. I love that series. I love it so much. And they took their time on the final season just because they wanted to wrap everything up, and they really did. And they mentioned things that I completely forgot about, to be completely honest with you. But they just did. It was such a beautiful ending. You know, they it was perfect. The way they did it was perfect.
I thought
it was,
so. Yeah.
It was exactly how it should have been. There wasn't any mad twists or aliens. It was just... It was
spoilers!
It was what you expected, and they did it perfectly.
I think you're probably right. No, I was surprised how much I have trouble committing to long series. I don't like to be a televisual monogamist. Well, that's not true. Because when I get obsessed about something, I really dig in. But I find holding on to drama series difficult. You know, I tuned out of Lost because it felt like too much of a commitment. Much like Dave, halfway through the first season.
I think Lost also. I think Lost in a way broke the 23 episode format, because especially in season 3, I remember watching it when it was on, and there was a point where they had a few episodes. Season break for 2 months, one episode, and then another season break for 2 months. And it was just like, hang on a minute, it took them the best part of a year to show that series. And that was when they suddenly went in the next season, oh, we're going to do series 4, which was my favourite part, like 12 episodes, no season breaks. And the whole story for that season was set in 1 week. And it was a really compact and really tight piece of storytelling, which Lost at that point had never done. It was like, oh, you can do this. And it's really good. But, yeah, it was kind of like those first 3 series, they do drag a bit because there's so much to take in. And you're never quite sure how much of it is relevant, especially when you get to the end of it and go, well, did the thing with the... What did that mean? One of my favourite shows. Has anyone ever seen The Shield?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's one of TV's, like, I hardly ever, like, hardly anyone I know has seen it, and that was one of my favourite TV shows, just for, especially, you talk about sort of, like, finales. That had one of the most satisfying series finales I have ever seen. It was just, like, everything was wrapped up, and I felt that the way in which they sort of closed off the story for each of the characters was really genuinely like, yeah, that's right, that's fitting. I was going to say, I don't know what you thought of it, Steve. Or...
it's difficult because with things like The Shield, I mean, it's a perfect example of like the streaming age for me, because we're beyond the point where someone might have been able to watch that episodically on the TV, or they might have been waiting for each DVD box set to come out. I mean, we are now literally spoiled by having the entire run available on Netflix or Amazon Prime Video. And The Shield was one of those that Jane and I just kind of burnt through, episode after episode after episode, season after season, never really taking a break away from it, one or two for dinner, that sort of thing. So you're really in kind of engulfed and engrossed with the entire show run, but then it stops and you go away and you have the general feeling of whether you think that was a good show or not, the performances, the story, the direction, all of that kind of stuff. But the details go away because there isn't that same permanence as if you're watching it over several years, right? If you're watching it episodically week after week, it's kind of burning into your mind a little bit more, I think, in some ways. Whereas when you binge it, you really live it. But then you move on to something else, and it disappears. Or it gets kind of shoved away in a corner and it doesn't necessarily stick in the same way. I don't know if that's making sense.
No, that makes perfect sense. Because
you're asking me about The Shield and I'm thinking, fuck yeah, it was great. But what I can't happened? Give you details.
See, that's really interesting because it was probably one of the last TV shows that I watched episodically. Like, I actually remember watching the final episode the day after it was on, obviously, thanks to the internet. And it was just like, oh wow, like that was it. And so it really felt like a satisfying moment, especially because like the final season of The Shield is brilliant. The problem they've got is season 6, the one before, they have to go in some really oddball directions to set the plot up the way they want it to finish. And season six is just insane. Some really weird stuff happens, and it feels completely out of character with the rest of the show. But then when I rewatched it, like, I remember watching it at the time going, oh, this is really, really bad. And then when I rewatched it recently with Anna as one complete show, I was just like, oh, okay, that fits in a lot nicer. And as one complete story, it made a bit more sense, and it meant I was able to sort of forget the craziness of that season slightly.
But are you... Do you think, like, because these things, a lot of the time, like, so, it's Breaking Bad was brought up earlier. Now, famously, like, Vince Gilligan, when he talks about Breaking Bad, like, he had no idea how that show was going to end. Mm. He made that up as he went along.
Mm. Yeah.
Which is, it's all, makes it all the more impressive as a thing. But, like, so do you think when they were doing that weird season, do you think that they had the final season in mind, or do you think...
I think with the Shield, I don't know, I'd like to say they did. It really feels, because it moves into such a natural kind of ending, and it feels... But then again, the end of Breaking Bad felt really natural. I mean, like, the last few episodes of Breaking Bad are amongst some of the, like... Is it the episode Ozymandias? When everything comes out, and everyone sits there, and just that whole episode, I remember watching it, and I was just like, that's brilliant. And so the idea that someone didn't somehow have that in their mind when they started out down that road is just like, surely you would have written that bit first. But no, he actually... So I am really impressed with that. But I think, like, certain... Because BSG in particular was a show where they all seemed to say that they had the... Like, they knew where they were going. But towards the end, you really get the impression that the writers were just like, what do we do here? What do we do? Anyone? Bueller? Like, and it kind of, the show just sort of runs out of ideas, but the ideas just become really strange.
I have feedback from our correspondent with regards to the conversation about Lost. I'm going to try and read and talk at the same time. let me do a voice for the correspondent as well.
Okay.
Won't be a face. It didn't derail when exactly where they decided to take it. It just isn't where people wanted it to go. And it really did all make sense. The answers it gave just weren't satisfying for everyone, and Breaking Bad might give everyone a sense of closure, but it's easier to do that in a show that doesn't have any magical reality to it. James, I love your face. I love you so much. So
Adam and Joe is
our... Adam and Joe are our correspondents, so thank you very much.
Your correspondent related to Cilla Black at all?
Laura. Laura.
But Laura, kind of,
Blended.
In a sense, though, I kind of... That's where I was kind of conflicted, because I agree with that opinion, but at the same time, I can see other people's point on that, because there's a lot of, like, just so much issues with the ending of Lost, I guess. See, then
there's one bit of Lost I always remember, and I thought it was probably my favourite moment of the whole thing, which is there's spoilers for anyone that hasn't seen it, but there is a character who can walk.
Sorry, I just heard back from our correspondent, and he's called me a name that I'm not able to use on the podcast.
Did he call you a Cilla Black?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
But it was obviously, there's the whole thing with John Locke.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Can walk, and then you find out that he was originally in a wheelchair, and there was the episode they built up to over the time where you found out how he got put in the wheelchair. And that story is all counterbalanced with him being sort of with, is it Ben tries to persuade him? And kind of, like, say, come join our side. Mm-hmm. He's like, we've got a room, and in that room is exactly what you want. The one thing you've always wished for. And eventually, like, you find out that John Locke was... The reason he's in a wheelchair is because his father pushed him out of a window. And there's a lot of... They build up the emotion around that scene beautifully. His whole relationship with his father is amazingly played out. And it's all for the point at the end of the episode where Ben takes him into that room and basically opens the door, and there's Locke's dad tied to a chair.
Oh,
and the
yes.
one where I always remember reading that at the time, was I was like, this is it, this is perfect. What's John Locke's greatest wish? For his father to know how it feels to be held captive in a chair.
Oh god, I forgot how good that was.
Were the moments of Lost. It was just like, oh, that's beautiful. Like, Lost really had a habit of, when it was good, it was so good. But it was just, yeah, it kind of, that last series really did a number on me, and I was just like, eh.
But I was still, I was okay with that last, like, I keep coming back to that, because so many people hated it, but I really didn't hate it. I understand why they hated it. And I know that's really frustrating to say, because there's lots of people that are going to be like, well, give me details. I don't want to ruin anything for anyone.
The strange thing for me is, if they had ended it at the end of Series 5, as Series 5 ended, which would have, like, if they'd ended it with that explosion, I would have just gone, yeah, that's fine, that whole thing. Mm. And I would have totally taken that, because it resolved nothing. It just left everything in a complete state of confusion. And I was like, I'm quite happy with that.
maybe people who get upset by endings of shows like that should watch historical drama. I'm watching Turn Washington Spies, right? Mm. And there's set in season, and Benedict Arnold's up in down in Philadelphia. And, you know, and I'm watching that. Oh, I know what's going on with you, mate. I know exactly what's going to happen. George Washington's being all quiet and enigmatic and noble during it, which is very nice. I like the way Washington, but it's nice. I'm enjoying the tension of seeing how the Culpeper spy ring came about, but at the same time I'm happy that I know how it's going to end, and I'll be satisfied with it. Would someone be so good as to let Nicholas into the house? I'm kind of looking at Mike when I said thank you, Mike, and I'm going to say to listener, we're going to take another break again. When we come back, quiz time with Mike. Yeah. Thank you to John and Jesse for a really interesting conversation. I enjoyed that. No, that was really good. We will see you guys in about five. What did you say? Love you!